start off with a question. How many rich people do we know? Now, I, for one, know quite a few, actually, wealthy people. And there are many wealthy people all around the world. And there are also many people that the world considers wise in their eyes. Now, not to say that being wealthy is anything wrong, per se, obviously, good for them. And, you know, but you still, you wonder, you know, what will the fate of them be in the not-too-distant future? And I'm more referring to people, really, that, you know, that are taking it in the wrong way. Are any of these people that God has not called doing what we are doing today? There's no amount of money, there's no amount of physical possessions, no amount of food and drink, whatever you want to throw in there, which can compare with what this Day of Atonement, which we in the church are celebrating today, pictures. I want to start off with 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, which is a valuable instruction to the wealthy of the world. First Timothy 6, verse 17, we read, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." Now, these people here depend on their riches with an attitude of security, not thinking that they need God in their lives, since they have everything they need, right? But that time will come when all the riches will disappear. Material possessions can be an obstacle and an idol, which is deemed more important than God. And this can also affect the called out ones if we are not careful. We have asked ourselves, or have we asked ourselves, why there are people out there that are so well off? They have more than they need, most likely. Why do they keep winning the lottery again? Or how easily money and riches find a way in their wallets and bank accounts? But have we also thought about why that would be the case and why that couldn't happen to us? For God has something far valuable planned for us. Now, it could be wealthy people in the church, that's fine. But overall, in comparison to people in the world, there still is a difference. There's nothing wrong with having material things that we can enjoy, but at what cost? Even food and water is something that many take for granted until they don't have it anymore. Like today, for example. Look how much food is thrown away at the end of the day at restaurants and fast food places. And those of us who have worked in fast food or restaurant know what that's like. We don't get to take all that food home unless you do it behind everybody's back. But typically, you're throwing that away. It's a waste. But there is something far more important than the physical necessity of food and water, which Christ makes very clear in Matthew 4, in verse 4. Now, this is during a time that he was himself fasting. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, we know what the future holds for this world. And the Bible talks about the scarcity of food the scarcity of food through a worldwide famine and how it will affect a large majority of the people in this world. But we also know that God won't let this affect us as long as we obey him and keep his laws, keep his Sabbaths, keep his holy days like we are doing today. God provides in ways the human mind cannot comprehend. And we see countless examples of how he has provided for those who were calling to him, who needed him, and specifically for people when food was scarce, like Elijah, for example, who was fed by the ravens, as I talked about in a previous message, And with that food, he could go for 40 days. It's a miracle. The human body cannot go without food for that long. But with God, it is possible. And also with Moses, also fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. God provided them with enough strength for that time. And also Christ, who did the same thing. Christ also fed the multitude with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish in Matthew chapter 14. How is that even possible? How do you feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? With God, everything was possible. In Deuteronomy 8, we see how God was with the Israelites and gave them specific instructions and commandments as to how to obey him. And when they did, they would receive blessings. But if they didn't, then they would be punished. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Here they were hungry, here they were starving, there was no food in sight. Yet, what happened? God provided through a miracle. And also, your garments did not wear out on you, verse 4, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. There were two choices that they could take. We then see what God will provide them with if they obey. Continuing verse 7. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs, of flow of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines, of fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. And see, we see that in the world today. We see the blessings, so they, you know, I mean, people are blessed with wealth and possessions, that's true. But how far does that go? Do they then start to forget about God? Are they keeping his commands? This is only goes so far. It is all physical. It is all temporary. And then God gives them a warning. So here God has blessed the Israelites with all this because they obeyed. But then they start to forget. And the warning is further revealed in verse 14. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do your good in the sight. Then you say in your heart, verse 17, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. God is no longer in the picture. And just like the majority, as I said, of the rich and the well-off people in this world who don't need God for they are wealthy, but God once again reminds the Israelites, as he did time and time again, where they got their wealth and where they got their possessions, where they got the food, where they got everything they needed in the first place. And we see in verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. You know, following other gods is also trusting in our riches and possessions and neglecting the most important thing in our lives. Now, granted, the majority of the people in this world have not been called to the truth and do not understand what it is. But there are people that do understand what it is and have had that chance and decided to leave and take matters into their own hands. Now, the greatest way we receive an abundance of material possessions, if God so chooses to grant us that, is what we need to do first. Famous scripture, Matthew 6, verse 33. It's cited, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Even during this day today, yes, we are weak because we're not eating and drinking, but to get our strength, what we do first is seek God. You can always pray to him. Pray to God to give us strength. So we seek his righteousness first. And all these things shall be added to you. All the material things will be added to us. And the very next verse is also important, as we should understand that it is God who is in complete control of our lives. And we do not need to worry about anything as long as we obey him. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day in its own trouble. Let's worry about what we are doing right now, what we are observing today, and what we're going to be keeping with the Feast of Tabernacles coming up.